Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church and another Sunday morning. This is the 4th of July weekend. I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to give everybody a minute or two. We have a few people coming on. I'm getting some text already from people. So if you have the ability to go ahead and text me and just let me know that you're here, that'll help me kind of gauge where we're at. I'm just telling Don just a second ago. I'd like to give a minute or two patience for people to come on. Not that I'm going to say anything of vast importance, but there's no reason to start too fast. If not, you're going to hear a 58-minute sermon, and I'm not for sure you really want to do that. I don't know if anybody can handle that. I don't think I can handle that. But anyway, if you're there and you're on, I'm so glad you're here with us this morning, but kick on and let me know that you are here, and I'll be able to go down and and realize that we're being seen and heard around the world this morning. So hope everybody's doing well. So we'll give you about one more minute. Take another sip. If I would have started too early, I would have said something that Annie needed to hear. So welcome, Annie.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Okay, the Taylors are here. That's always good. Good morning to you. I don't know if anybody's been by the church, but it looked like there was a thank you, Michael and the kids and April and Doug are there. Did you notice I still have your picture right, where's it at? Right there on the piano, April and Doug. So hope Gene's listening. Kids, Michael and the kids are here. They're trying to finish the donuts. Why? You guys always eat during church anyway. What's the deal? Carl and Amber is here. So good to see you. Jim and Dot, Candy and Robert are here. The Craigs have entered into the building, so welcome. Fantastic. I'm going to turn this off. We had several people on already. And keep texting me, though, if you will. I want to make sure I go down. In about 45 seconds, we'll start off the official, hey. So I don't know if when Don, you edit this, just edit this all out, and then we'll kick right into the good stuff here just in a second. So Tommy and Mary are here. Okay, there's the numbers I'm looking for. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, you are alive and well, so good. So officially, welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. It's just great to have you here this morning on this 4th of July weekend. We hope that you had a wonderful time with your family yesterday, or at least doing something, maybe grilling out or doing something fun. I spent the entire day, I think I may have got up two or three times right there in that chair. I'm not feeling well. I'm not doing well at all, matter of fact. So if I make it through this, I'll be fine. But I'm just going to pretend that everything's wonderful. I'm being tested for COVID and by what it's doing to my body or what I feel like it's doing to my body. I pretty well have already diagnosed myself, but we have so many people with it. The only good thing I can think of this is that if I'm positive, and hopefully I'll find out today or tomorrow, I brought all my work home, and I'll just sit at home and work and rest from here instead of going up to the hospital building. But I don't know. I think you can tell by my eyes and stuff that I'm just not 100%. So bear with me. So all of those editorials that you give me after the sermon and hey, Greg, you should have done that. Oh, you forgot to do that. Oh, you didn't do it that right. please just don't send all the negatives today, because you're lucky that I'm even here. So welcome, but I just appreciate it. And I want to give out a couple prayer requests, okay, if I could. Carl Mann's uncle and Amber, Carl and Amber Mann, but Carl's uncle Clayton, they're requesting a special prayer for him this morning. We're going to do that. I'm going to put some other people on this prayer list too, if I can. Esther just wrote me an email. He's experiencing complications from a recent kidney transplant. He's developed an infection in that area, and his body's rejecting the kidney. And that's not good news. So we know that God can take care of that. And he's being treated with medication, and it may require surgery again. And Clayton's just not doing well, and he's in the ICU unit of the hospital. And being in any hospital right now is just not a good idea, if you can keep from it. But obviously, Clayton needs to be. So pray for Carl's uncle, Clayton, and the kidney transplant, that somehow God can turn that around to be able to have that body respond and accept that kidney that he's received. Also spoke to Jesse late night the other night, and we had a wonderful talk. Jesse is just pray for Jesse. Things are going up and down and up and down, and we just pray that God will take care of all the fluid that's in him, and the bilirubin, and the complications of what's going on inside of his body. So I just pray that the things go well with Jesse. We have, and I haven't got permission, but I think we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Let me see if I got permission yet. I ask, but I haven't, but I'm going to show off anyway. Even though I know, you're going to get mad at me, but this is the new baby in our world. That's baby Jamie. Monica and Victor have that child, and 8 pounds something. I don't know why Monica is famous for having the biggest babies in the world, but it's a story. We'll let Monica tell you when we all get in church one day, and we dedicate that precious child. But there's nothing better than a baby. So just want to show that off. And Victor, Monica, I hope that I didn't upset you, but I just had to show off a picture of them and that precious child. Just wonderful. I have lots of people that have asked for prayer. A lot of people that are telling me that, you know, they just want us to remember them in prayer, but not mention their names. And that's what I love about church, is we don't have to have the specifics. We do want you to pray for Amber and Carl. They're expecting. So that Amber and that little baby inside, it just things go well with them, and we're lifting them up also. Pray for all the stuff that's going on in this world out there. There's people all around that have the COVID. Pray that I don't, that the tests come back negative today or tomorrow. I'm hoping that's the case. Either way, God's good. But just pray that those people that you know, like I mentioned, I think in the email last week, that we will all eventually know somebody that has this, because the numbers are just multiplying. And I know people tell me, Greg, don't be talking about this stuff on church. This is church. But this is our world that we're living in. So just pray for all of those. And most of all, this weekend, it being the celebration of our nation's freedom, as we kind of turn the corner here and get really into God's word, we need to pray for our nation, our leaders, the people, our world, not just the COVID. But there's a higher virus and disease that's going on in our world right now, and it's not just COVID. It is our falling away from God, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But if I could, with you, just for a few seconds, if you would bow your heads with me, and let's just have a word of prayer for these and all the others that have been mentioned, and all the ones that's on the prayer list. I believe Esther also told me that Archie Robertson's getting ready to, in the next couple of weeks, we'll know when that time is, and we'll let you all know about it. Just pray specifically. The replacement of the batteries, I believe, in his pacemaker. So we will lift him up, but we'll lift him up now. But obviously, the closer we get to that time, Esther will let us know. When Pat lets her know, and then we'll pray specifically, but we want to lift him up too. So let's just have a word of prayer, and for all those others that have are experiencing the need for prayer right now, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you, and I thank you for the day. I thank you for the weekend that we've had. Lord, I thank you for the blessings and the freedoms that we have in this country. Along with those freedoms, Lord, comes a responsibility that sometimes we can't control, nor do we understand what the responsibility even is. But Lord, I just ask that you be with us as a country, us as a nation, us as a people, in our world, in our state, in our county, in our cities. Lord, there's so many things going on that we could be lifting up to you right now. But Lord, we just want to have you cover us with your hand and protect us. Lord, I pray for Clayton. And Lord, never met him, but Lord, we know that you know everything about him. Pray that kidney, Lord, that the body starts receiving that kidney, that the infection goes away. And Lord, there's somehow a way to turn this around, that it starts going back into a healing process instead of a downhill turn. Lord, we know that you are a God of miracles, so take care of him. Lord, take care of Jesse and Erlene in a powerful way. Surround them with your love, with your care. Touch him, Lord, just a saint of yours, a special man, a special family. Just touch him in a powerful way. Lord, be with Amber, the little baby that she is carrying. Let that just go to completion, Lord, and to perfection. And we just can't wait to see another child. And in that same breath, Lord, we want to thank you for bringing Janie into this world in such a wonderful way that you did. Lord, it wasn't as planned, but Lord, we know there's a story behind it. And we'll hear all about that story. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, there's so many other people that's on the list. We want to pray for Archie and just lift him up now. That, Lord, whenever that is scheduled, that, Lord, you take care of that and just intervene with stress and nerves. No reason for that, Lord, because it's in your hands. And, Lord, we turn that over completely to you. Lord, with our school, so many teachers, so many people, so many parents, so many kids, Lord, that have their own situation and their stories. We just ask, Lord, their needs are met, that their requests are taken care of, and Lord, you be with them. Lord, the friends that I have that have this virus that are really sick, I ask, Lord, that you take care of them and let them feel your presence. And we know you can do that. We know you have the power. And Lord, the day that you have us come up with a vaccine, Lord, let that come from you, because we know that's where it all comes from anyway. That's where wisdom comes from. But Lord, take care of them. Let them rest. Let them feel no pain. Let them heal. And let that virus just ebb away as quickly, Lord, as what they got. And there's so many. And we turn them all over to you. Lord, be with our country, be with our leaders, be with our mayor, our governor, our president, our Congress, all those people, Lord, that can't seem to be able to get a clear grasp on anything anymore. Let today be the day that the cloud lifts and you enter in and you say, okay, you've handled it far enough. I'm taking back over. And Lord, let us be humbled and get on our knees and pray that you'll do that soon. We give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we give you the victory and the answer, Lord, of the prayers that you're going to answer, I thank you in advance. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, that's one of those mornings that you could have prayed all day. And God's good. Hope you had a good holiday. We obviously will be doing church this way for a few more weeks at least. We have no idea. The numbers that are coming in just of the last couple days are in the thousands when it used to be in a couple hundreds. So we're up around the 2,000 mark every day of new cases just in the Harris County area. So it's not going to go away soon, but we may come up with different ways of doing things. So just stay tuned, and we will let you know what we have in mind for the near future. Tonight, come back on. I'm going to be here again tonight. Won't have a lot of energy, but we will come back tonight for Breaking the Silence. And the Breaking the Silence, you can get on there the same exact way you get on church, by going to the bbsradio.com. Look over to the video side. It tells you all the shows that's on there. Now we have one called Faith Springs Baptist. And now the right underneath there, about three or four down, is Breaking the Silence. You hit that, and we'll be on video tonight also. So we're doing video and audio on both programs. So love to have you tonight. It would be great. I love it when you all come on. Okay. Get your Bibles. I just want to jump in there. We're 15 minutes into it. So about 30, 40 minutes is about, I think, what I have in mind of what the message is going to be. I'm getting a lot of text. I don't want to be rude and looking at them, but thank you. I appreciate all of that. I'm just going to turn the phone over, because if I don't, I won't ever get my mind on the right thing. Get into your Bibles. You want to turn into Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, we often forget, just like things just continually do the same thing over and over and over and over. History repeats itself with all these people, you know. They were leaving Egypt, the Israelites, and they were trying to make it to the promised land. And you just see this up and down, up and down, up and down. You can see that in our own personal lives. You can see that in our own life of our nation. But, you know, we often forget what this weekend should be about and a remembrance of, is that our forefathers, people that you were related to, fought for the Declaration of Independence from England. And in that, they also did something else. And that's what I want to hit on. We did not only want, as a country, as a people, to declare our independence from any other source out there of the country, dictators, trying to tell us what we could do, what we couldn't do, and all of that. They equally, at the same time, made a bold declaration of dependence on the Almighty God. And both of those were packaged in what this weekend represents, what we're supposed to be remembering, what July 4th is all about, Independence Day. It's Independence Day that we can do what we want to do as a people, but it ought to be Independence Day in that, and Dependence Day on remembering who we need to be dependent on, and that is God Himself. And that is where we're falling short as a people. So if you're taking notes, and I don't know if you all do or not, but Don was just saying beforehand, there won't be long until we'll be able to get transcripts for from all of these shows, all these messages. So you can not only take your own notes, but you get a transcript of it too. And I'm letting people in into the room here. So welcome on, come on in. They're still coming in. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to put down is that they declared their dependence upon God. Our forefathers did that. We weren't the first nation to do that. Another crucial moment in history was the people of Israel who were preparing to enter into the land that God had already promised to them. And Moses told them, are you there? Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 and 11. And if you're there, say, oh yeah, okay? Oh yeah, here we go. And it goes like this, Deuteronomy 8, 10 and 11. When you have eaten and you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. There's a warning there. I want you to see that. Don't turn away from there yet, because we're going to go back to that. But then, when you look in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, then again, in the closing words of that same document, it goes like this. And I have it memorized, but I can't go down to the bottom without going all the way from the beginning to the end. It goes like this. In the Declaration of Independence, closing words, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Folks, that's God. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It is important that we remember, not only during this weekend, but that we need to all, I so wish that we as a country could hit some kind of a pause button and go, wait, take a step back, everybody. From the president to the people that's begging on the street corners down here on the street right below. Just pause, take a step back, and look at this, look at everything again, and what we are all about. It's important that we remember our clear, crystal clear dependence on God Himself, especially in the time of a turmoil and crisis. We have to rely 100% on Him. On Him. Now, there's people that rise up in the middle of all of this chaos out here, and they'll say, I got the answer. I have the answer. I'll send you a check. I'll do this. We'll get jobs. We'll have food lines. We'll do all this. They try to have all the answers. But let me tell you what, 100% of them, 100% of them have been wrong. They haven't had the humbleness to be able to back up and go, now wait. Pause, let's regroup, and then start their sentence with, God said, and go to Scripture, that would answer our problems, that would answer our country's dilemma, that would answer our world's problems right now. But because of pride, because self-indulgence, because of people's issues, and their own insecurities. We won't. And I don't understand why, but haven't we all been in this? We get in such a fight that even though we know in the back of our mind, oh boy, I'm going to make a fool out of myself, we decide to go ahead and forge ahead. I'll just keep on saying it, keep on doing it, instead of going, hey, whoa, wait. Okay. Let's talk to God about this. That's what we need. In this first point, I want you to just put down their dependence upon God. To have their declaration of our dependence on God. But I also want you to see in Deuteronomy, also same chapter. I believe it's the same chapter. Yeah, it is the same chapter. There's also a warning. And I want you to see the warning. It was written over 3,400 years ago that could apply to our country, our city, our county, our state today. Deuteronomy 8, 7. Moses told the people this. Deuteronomy 8, 7. This is the warning. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water. And a little later on it goes, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Then jump to verse 10. When you have eaten and when you are satisfied, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verses 11 through 14. Beware. Keep on going. Lest when you eat and you're satisfied, when you build your fine houses and you settle down, and then go down a little bit further, and all you have is multiplied. Then, beware, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. He said right there. And so there is a warning. We need to declare our dependence on God, but we also need to understand that there's a warning that when God blesses, we just don't get into the mode of where it's all about us. And that's where I think we have failed. That's where it says there's a warning there. When you build all your houses and get all your fine things, be careful. You're going to get proud and you're going to forget all about the one that gave you it to begin with. Declare our dependency on God. That's what they did. Two. Watch out that we don't forget God. Nations and individuals need this warning. Now, let me be honest with you. You need this warning. I need this warning. Be honest. Periodically, we forget our God. The greatness of a nation is not measured, no matter what politician tells you, the greatness of a nation is not measured by the military power of the nation. The greatness of a nation is not measured by the nation's wealth. Righteousness and justice are the determining factors. Righteousness and justice are the determining factors. Just take your own life. Is it always about the money? Is it always about the power, the prestige? Because of the world I live in and writing and speaking and doing some educational things on webinars, which I'm doing all the time, which is great that I don't have to travel, but doing all the time around the country. They have three next week. I watched, and I would recommend it if you have an interest in this, on Netflix, the Jeffrey Epstein series. And the amount of money that this man had, the amount of power that this man had, wonder what that greatness got him. Now that his assistant was just arrested, what, yesterday? You're going to find out that they're going to do everything in this world to keep this woman alive, because she is going to be the one that is going to reveal across this world, if they can keep her alive, if she don't end up dying in a prison cell like Jeffrey did. We're going to find out some stuff. It's not about cars. It's not about women. It's not about money. It's not about prestige. It's not about mansions. It's not about the power of being who you are when you walk in the room and everybody turns and looks. It's not about any of that. It's about righteousness and justice. That's what creates a nation and makes it powerful, makes it blessed. And when we turn from that, we've lost something. And we've turned from that. We need to repent back. We need to get back. Get on our knees as a country. And it's not just to say it. And to declare that you believe it. It's to live it. And kids, if you're watching what's going on in this world and you're confused and you're worried, and maybe mom and dad mess up a little bit, and you see that, hey, wait, they act different there than what they do at home. Let me just talk to you for a second, okay? Be grounded in God's word. That is where success makes or breaks you. Live as righteous as you can. Be just to everybody that you can. We all make mistakes. We all slip and fall. I don't know what you think about our country and our leadership right now. And I apologize that it's the way it is. But I want to let you know, you build your life, your faith on God, and you won't go wrong. I promise you that. I promise you that. Solomon, the wisest person ever. Now, there'll be people that'll battle that with you. Oh, Dalai Lama, or, you know, Oprah Winfrey, or please. There'll be all kinds of different suggestions of who it is. I personally would probably vote Solomon without a doubt, because the Bible says that, and I'm going to believe that too. But the wisest man ever in Proverbs, write this verse down, 14:34 goes like this. Proverbs 14:34, just in case you think I was all wet on that last little soapbox. Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There it is. There it is. Can I take a vote? Can we go to Congress and tell Congress we want "In God We Trust" and then Proverbs 14:34 underneath? That would be awesome. That would be so awesome, because it reminds us that it's us as a people We need to continue to trust in God, but not just trust, but live in it. That trust sometimes gets so watered down. Oh, I trust him when I need him. I trust him when somebody's really sick. Oh, can you pray? But righteousness, to have it inside here, to where everything that you think, breathe, smell, eat, do is based on God and his word. That is when a people, a person, a family, a nation is exalted. Righteousness exalts a nation, but then sin is a reproach to any people. And if I believe in writing and circling your Bible, I would circle the word any people. We, for years, as a country, have thought we were the big guy on campus as a nation. We're the best. Nobody can mess with us. God's got us in the palm of his hand. We're not going to mess up. But when sin starts entering in like it has and starts taking over, that's when the exaltation of the nation starts lowering. And unfortunately, that's where we're at. Oh, we're not a lost cause by any means. I would never want to say that. I wouldn't live in another country in the world but this one. This is it. But we need to return back to God pretty darn quick. I'm sorry, I'm drinking a lot, but my throat's gone. We, you know, we've sang that the old song, I've Got to Be Free. You know, sometimes our proclaimed freedom has become the very thing that enslaves us. I want you to hear that. Sometimes our very freedom is the very thing that enslaves us. Titus 3:3, write this down. Paul says, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and entangled by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Wow, that could be us today. We aren't free. We're enslaved to sin, but we don't have to be. For instance, go down to the street for somebody that you know that's an alcoholic, a wino. Take the bottle away and say, I want to free you from your alcoholism. And he's going to say, I'm not a slave to this. Are you kidding? I'm not a slave to anything. Now give me back my bottle. That's what they'll end up saying. The prodigal son. What did the prodigal son in the parable say that Jesus said that he said? He said, I want to be free, Dad. Just give me what is mine. Come on, just give me what is mine. I want to be free. And then as he's whistling Dixie to the faraway land saying, I'm free, I got what was mine. I'm just going to go and have a wonderful time and a wonderful world. But I want to tell you what, it didn't last long. It wasn't long before all of the parties ended. It wasn't long that all of his friends that were there just to help him drink and eat his food. It wasn't long that he was looking at a pig slop and decided that looked pretty darn good. And he gets on his hands and knees and starts leaning down in it and eating it. It wasn't until he came back to his father. That's when he found real freedom. There may be a few of us that experienced being in the Father's house, that experienced being with God, that gave our life and our heart, but we went out into the world and forgot and did what Titus 3:3 says, that Paul tells us we became foolish. We became disobedient. We became entangled with so much passion. We started hating people. We started just worrying about us and all those pleasures and all of that stuff. And then we start our freedom that God Christ gave us at Calvary starts out in the world full of sin and being involved in that. We started putting chains on ourselves, handcuffs on ourselves, shackles on our own legs, our own mind, our own ways. And it becomes not free so much anymore. We become enslaved to that. We can return just as a nation, as a state, as a community, as a church, as a family, as a person. We can experience real freedom again by just returning back to the Father. Real freedom. The third thing. Beautiful segue. Our real freedom comes only in Jesus Christ. Number three, our real freedom comes only in and through Jesus Christ. So we look out there, especially maybe yesterday, look out there and go, is there real freedom anywhere? Anywhere. And I got a feeling, let me grab one. People get bit out of shape over this thing. They get bit out of shape over this. I don't like this any more than you do. See, my glasses automatically start fogging up. I bought another one that doesn't actually do that as much, but that a governor would have the nerve to tell me what I can and can't do. That's not taking our freedom away. That's trying to protect you. That's trying to protect us. And whether you believe it is real or not, it's the law. For instance, I'm a perfect example of this. When I was 19 years old, I had a head-on car crash. Went through the windshield. They pronounced me dead on the scene. Mom heard it on the local radio station, met me at the hospital. And you've heard this story more than once. I think it's in the book, one of the books, I don't know. And I have a problem because after I got out of the hospital and went to the junkyard and looked at my car, this little Chevy Chevette. Things aren't very big anyway. The dashboard and the front seat was on top of each other. And I have people that were my friends that was in the ambulance business back then that was on the scene. And they told me, Greg, if you had your seatbelt on, you would have been killed. The only thing that saved you was the impact threw you through the windshield and out onto the pavement and messed me up a little bit, messed my aisle up and all kinds of stuff. But that's what saved your life because you didn't have the seatbelt on. Now, years later, 20 years later, states, countries now say you have to wear seatbelts. And every time the buzzer goes off in the car, I go, and I justify that by not doing it because of what happened to me years ago. If I would have, and I've even said that to people, oh, if I would have had my seatbelt on when I was 19, I would have been dead. But it's the law. It's the law. Did that take my freedom away? No. It was there to protect me. Statistics, scientists, specialists, smarter people than me, and there's a lot of those, decided that was what was best for the people. Sometimes we get bent out of shape over this stuff more than what we get bent out of shape over this stuff. And what's real freedom? Do we really have freedom, real freedom anymore? And there's a word for freedom in the New Testament. It's called redemption. Redemption means to be set free. It means you have been bought with a price, freed from all bondage, and now we are free. I want to read this. If you want to, you can turn now to Titus. I'll let you find that because that's a little book. Titus is in the New Testament. We got a couple more minutes, so we're doing fine. We've only got about 15 minutes. So we've got a lot of people watching today, so this is great. I apologize, I don't have much energy. Titus 2, verse 11, and we're going to go all the way through, I think, 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14. If you're there, say, oh, yeah, and it goes like this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Wow. If you are really a patriot, if you're really concerned about America, if you really want God to bless America, then live a life in harmony with the will of God. And then at that point, you could really sing that God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. We can really say that. God bless us. We're free from all that stuff, that bondage. We are a redeemed people. Pray that our country might have a new birth of freedom. Not a freedom from God, but rather a freedom built upon God and his word. Let me read that again. Pray that our country might have a new birth of freedom, not a freedom from God, but rather a freedom built upon God and his word. May each of us reaffirm our dependence on God so that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, so we might experience the freedom he gives, not only from worry, doubt, the freedom from fear, but also from all of those sins which so easily entangles us. Then, and only then, can we experience what the founding fathers of our country wanted for us. Then we will find in Him our life, our liberty, and our true happiness, our true joy. And I honestly believe that we have soldiers around the country, around the world, that are putting their life on the lines for us. I'm proud that I've had two boys in the military, and I'm so proud that I have Curtis that is in the military right now still serving. And I know that you have folks that are in your family and your friends and that have gone on before, some that have died on the fields fighting for our freedom. And I know it goes right through you when you see the flag being burned, being stomped on, our leaders being cursed and mocked, and somehow the freedom of speech has allowed for us to have TV stations built on calling our leaders dumb and stupid and ignorant, and it just takes us to a lower level than what God ever wanted us to be. But I trust that with the Word of God, and if we return back in humbleness as a nation and repent and remember that our redemption is our freedom and it happened on the cross, then we can return back to what this country should be. We can return back to what our family should be. We can return back to what our church should be. Anytime before God wants to make, I'm going to catch this. I'm starting to get excited. Anytime that when God starts to make a major move, He usually has a major upset, a major change, a major break, a major crisis, per se. And He sits back and watches how we handle that crisis. And then God comes in. You know, you have a huge airplane, and airplanes fly by all the time here going over to Hobby. Huge airplane that wants to land. And an airplane can't land without enough runway to be able to handle the size of that vessel. Too short, it's going to run out, it's going to crash. It has to be long enough when it comes down with the weight, the power, the speed, the size. And when it comes in, it has enough to be able to have a safe landing. God has a blessing for you that is hovering over us, that is circling your spiritual heart, your spiritual airport. And He's just waiting for the landing strip to be long enough and big enough to be able to handle it. He is waiting. And I pray. There is two words in the Greek language that talks about the Word of God. Two words. One is logos. That is the written Word of God. Y'all heard that. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. We need logos in our life. We need logos in our heart. We need logos in our spirit. We need to build our life on logos. But I want to let you know that God has a blessing for our country. God has a blessing for our church. God has a blessing. Take this right down to each person that's listening to my voice right now. God has a blessing for you and me. But He's waiting for us to be able to have a landing space enough for it to hit and be able to stop and park it there. The second word in that Greek language is rhema. We need a rhema word of God. R-H-E-M-A. That is a living word that is Holy Spirit taken out of the Logos into us. And it says, wait. It literally takes a verse out of here And God says, Greg, this verse is alive for you. It's a living vessel, rhema word for you. Get in this and find it. Pray, Lord, give it to me. Allow your landing strip and your faith and your heart and your righteousness, although that he doesn't do it because you're righteous, but to live right. Bring it all back. Take a step back and go, Lord, what do you have prepared for me? I want that blessing to land. And it's just allowing us maybe enough time to make our landing strip a little longer to be able to handle what God is going to bless us with. And we need the Holy Spirit inspired and filled, rhema, word, in each of our hearts and our lives. You receive that this morning? I sure hope so, because I've worked up a sweat. God is good. This nation is awesome. But most of all, God is in control of everything. Let's just close with a word of prayer, and then we'll say a blessing and we'll let you go. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the nation that we are in. I still have a feeling that if you ask 99,000 people, almost all 99,000 people around this world would say, if I could live anywhere, I would live in America. The United States of America, united with you, is based on being united with you. May we return back to that. May we repair and build and level off a landing space big enough to handle the blessing that you're circling our lives with. Show it to us in your word, in your logos, but also, Lord, show us a rhema word. Let us get a living, Holy Spirit-filled word for each of our lives and our hearts that we can just focus on. And let it be our logo, our motto. And may we never forget it. Lord, thank you for your time, us all being together. Thank you for this church and the body of people. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for putting up with my raspiness and my whatever it is, but I appreciate you. I love you all. May God bless us again. May God bless America again. He does it every day. May we return to him, realizing that he is the one that it has to be built on. Because without him, we're nothing. Have an awesome rest of your weekend. We'll see you tonight. If you want to, come back at 8 o'clock Central Time. We'll be right back with Breaking the Silence. May God bless you. Keep watching. Keep praying. Keep praying for our school, the constructors at the church, and everything that's going on there in our own church staff. But everybody in our church family and everybody that's listening to my voice, if you need something, let us know. We love you as a church family. But from the bottom of my heart, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I love you. I truly, truly do. Have an awesome day. God bless, and we'll see you this evening. Good night. Have a good day. Happy 4th.